A wise woman told me that the whole purpose of the Friends of Lois W. program was to help us find out who we are and then be exactly who we are, no more, no less. And I also remember E.E. Cummings writing that one of the hardest things to do in this life is to be exactly who you are in a world where everyone wants to make you something that they want you to be. And there's just so many people that I've met through the years that have talked about this very topic. And I still struggle with that. I mean, who wants to be disliked? Who wants to be shunned? Who wants to feel like their life doesn't matter to somebody? And we all need to find what matters deep within us and not be disturbed by the external world. But I don't disturb people. There, things that I've been writing lately have been disturbing to some people, but they're disturbed not because I'm disturbing, but because they are disturbable. I'm not their problem. And I shouldn't be disturbed by their being disturbed, but yet I am. But they're not my problem. So ultimately, I have to work, you know, through that kind of frequently. I don't go through life trying to upset people on purpose. I think I did that in my 20s, early 20s. But after a while, I just kind of quit doing that. I mean, I was willing to do that in my early 30s. I was willing to tick people off. But now I think I'm a little bit more mindful than I used to be about that sort of thing. It's like I want to walk through life without sharp edges. I don't want to get caught on things. And I want to keep rolling with the flow. But, you know, it's like even in circles that, you know, I like Christians, you know, or Muslims or anybody. I mean, there's no two people that really agree with everything. But I think, you know, with Christians, it's even more kind of cutthroatish almost. It's starting to seem like people are taking exception to scripture and people's perception or understanding of it. And some people are a lot more learned about those things than I am. I am not well versed, but I have given a lot of thought to what I have read, and I do pray about it and seek for higher wisdom and acceptance of the things I don't understand. But I'm also willing to question my own convictions. I heard a professor say one time that it's important to have the courage of your convictions. And I think he was actually talking about Friedrich Nietzsche at the time. And he used him as an example of someone who had the courage to question his convictions. And he thought that the courage to question one's convictions was a lot more important than the courage of those convictions. But the courage to question convictions is the courage to have convictions. It's like truth without paradox is dead. At least in the dualistic world, you know, Alan Watts talks a lot about the dualistic mind and the Western mind. And I think I love the ancient Grecian contributions to the direction of the world, but I also believe that they separated mind from heart rather than integrating the two to a large degree. It's like they turned us into some sort of schizophrenic or some kind of disjointed, separate, multifaceted entity. I think it was in ancient Israel and maybe some other cultures too, that believed that the mind was the thinking part of the heart and the heart was the feeling part of the mind. And they weren't separate. They were one. They were just different parts of the whole. And there's something about balance, being in balance. It's like ancient Sparta and the Greeks said, nithan aiyam, which is nothing in excess. But yet Sparta was probably some of the most disciplined people that history has ever shown us. Or at least that's my perception of it. Maybe there's been some others that were more so. But it's funny that some culture that says nothing in excess is so disciplined. And, you know, they had their order, their sacred order, but yet they had enough sense to realize that nothing in excess should still be important. And that's a paradox too. And I think it was one day a year in Sparta, people could do whatever they wanted to do. They could break all the rules. They could do any darn thing and there would be no consequences. Not any legal, you know, consequences. There might be a hangover the next day, but, you know, was a self-induced consequence. But, you know, I'm seeing all these, I call it separation consciousness, all these things that we think are a problem. And there's not two people in Christendom, I think, that really view the church the same way. Church being a really broad term, by the way. And as where the Muslims seem to be more on one page with each other, not totally, not strictly, obviously, they have divisions as well. But the idea of individuality in Western society has brought it to a point to where maybe it's outbalancing the whole. I mean, the reason we celebrate and protect individuality is for the betterment of the whole. It's not just for the individual themselves that we have individual rights. It's because it helps society, it helps the world. Maximum freedom to do wrong is also maximum freedom to do right. And if you squash the ability to do what's wrong, you also squash the ability to do what's right. And there are consequences for doing things right or wrong. But I'm kind of libertarian in the philosophy of just do whatever you want to do. Just don't hurt someone else while you're doing it. No one has a right to hurt anyone else against their will unrighteously. And that requires some fleshing out as to what unrighteously means and all that. But I think when we force people to do the right thing, we lose something. And I've never seen anyone really legislate a better world. Tacitus, the Roman emperor, I think he was, he said, the more laws, the more corrupt the government. And I really believe that. And the U.S. has outflanked Russia on laws, and it didn't used to be that way, but now we've become a litigious society, and people are suing each other and bringing each other to court and doing all these things. And they're doing it for selfish reasons, for self-gain sometimes. And sometimes it seems to be for a good reason. But really, this litigiousness is just beyond me in some ways. It seems reprehensible. Why don't you just make a different decision and not hang around with people that are going to hurt you? And if you have a clue that they're going to hurt you or steal from you, protect yourself from that. Don't hang around with people like that. You know, stick with the winners. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. But it's this idea of general discord and splintering of the Christian mind. And there's a lot of different ideas about what's right and wrong. But, you know, it's like Christ said, forgive your enemies. Do good though to those that despise you. Love one another. And where does war fit into that? I don't think it does. It's like we get all exercised about things that seem really important to us in the moment, but in the big picture of history, life goes on. Regardless of the worst things that have happened to people, life goes on. You know, sometimes we spend it in eternity. Sometimes we live through a bunch of misery or a bunch of joy here. But life goes on, and how we treat ourselves in reference to how others treat us is in our control and not theirs. And that's one of the values of forgiveness. So I don't know how to really stop people from being upset with me. It's like some representative had done a bunch of things that are wrong, and I was suggesting to people in Uptown Crime Watch that we should forgive the guy. We should give him a second chance, but that he should admit his malfeasance or whatever it is. And if he would do that, then let him pick up the pieces of his life and of his career and move forward. Now, I don't think he's got a small enough ego to do that. I don't think the people that are I'm not going to mention any organizations. People that are part of the organization he's a part of will tolerate his speaking against the party. His admitting that he was manipulating and lying about profiling and things like that for self-gain, to play the system, and to save himself from consequences of his own actions and all that. If he would admit that, you know, let him be. Let him move on. You know, we all make mistakes. Everyone deserves second chances. And when I said that online, people are just going off on me. It's talking about how stupid it was. You know, it's like, well, do I got to apologize for being a Christian, or at least endorsing a Christian philosophy of forgiveness? And yeah, the guy needs to be accountable. We all do to some extent, right? In his proper time and place. But look, if, you know, Jesus told the guy to forgive them, they know not what they do, while he was up on a cross, then, you know, maybe that's kind of like an idea being proffered to us, that if they're killing him, he said, forgive them, they don't know what they do. He said, Heavenly Father, Abba, however he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. If he could say that while he's up there in pain, maybe things less than that, we should do that as well. So maybe it's a small thing that we're complaining about. And 100 years from now, we'll see the value that this has had on our society and cultures and the world, and, you know. But right now we can't see it because we're all too perturbed, and, you know, we're getting in pissing contests with skunks. And my spiritual advisor years ago, when I first sobered up, said, never get into a pissing contest with a skunk. Don't walk with the enemy. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I heard that from someone else, and I incorporated that saying into my life. And another good one I heard was, say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean. Another one I heard a comedian talk about in a recovery alumni event. He said, and this is really the only thing in this whole routine that I definitely remember. He said, truth without compassion is cruelty. And people just don't seem to get any of these things. They don't seem to understand forgiveness. They don't seem to understand the value of forgiveness. And it's like righteous indignation is the most caustic of all resentments. The things that we're right about are the ones that do the most damage. So we're killing each other with our wisdom. And wisdom is not meant to hurt one another. No one has a right to be an obstacle to a fellow human being getting well. No one has a right to kick people into the corner and try to force them to live a better life. We want to attract people to a better life. Forcing solutions is wrong. And that brings me back to that original Lois W. organization. Forcing solutions is wrong. We have to remember when it comes to other people, we didn't cause it, we can't control it, and we can't cure it. It's not our place. My old sponsor told me to be the best person I can be and leave the outcome up to God. That's my part. It's none of my business what other people think of me. And ironically, it's none of my business what I think of me. My only business is what God thinks of me. Peace out, y'all.